Now, I want to tell you about a very interesting project that's taking place off the southwest coast of Iceland on an island called Vestmannaeyjar. Niall Hatch has been there recently on our behalf, making a documentary about puffins, which you can hear in our Nature on One documentary slot on the bank holiday Monday in August. But while he was there, he came across a beluga whale sanctuary. Yes, you heard me right. A sanctuary for whales, and in particular, the beluga whale. Now, the beluga whale is the small white whale. I'm sure you've seen them many times. Have a look at some of the pictures on our website if you want to remind yourself of how they look. But bottom line is, this operation, which is run by the Sea Life Trust with support from Merlin Entertainments and Whale and Dolphin Conservation, are taking these whales from captivity where they were in aquaria and giving them what they claim is a safe and more natural home. As I've said, Niall Hatch was there recently from where he filed this report.
Hi, Derek, from the Westman Islands off the southwest coast of Iceland. Absolutely beautiful location. A place I know that you know well. I believe you've been here yourself.
I was there on two occasions, once with Richard Collins and then by myself to see the whale Keiko, aka Willy from the movies Free Willy, who was rehabilitated, or the plan was to rehabilitate Keiko in a pen in the bay there on the Westman Islands. I can't remember exactly where the location is, but anyway, you can fill me in on that, and then release him back to his original pod of killer whales from whence he came. But didn't work out like that. He ended up in a Norwegian fjord and he died. But it was there to the Westman Islands I went, and it was also there they had that volcanic eruption back in 1971 or 73. I can't remember the exact date.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned whales, Derek, because although the main reason I'm here in the Westman Islands is to do some interviews for a puffin documentary that we're bringing out later in the year, I took the opportunity while I was here to find out some more about another type of whale, the beluga whale, which I think they actually are now in the sanctuary here, which is where Keiko the whale actually was kept. Really, really beautiful, beautiful white whales. And I'm not alone. I'm joined here by Thora Gisladottir, who is the manager of the sanctuary here, the Sea Life Sanctuary. Thora, how come there are beluga whales here in this part of Iceland?
Well, the short version of it is that many years ago, these two beluga whales we have, little grey and little white, they were captured near Russia. And they were on display in China for many years until we decided to rescue them. And the Sea Life Trust rescued the belugas and found a place here on the island in our beautiful bay. And so we have been keeping them here in their indoor care pool for some while, and now they are out in the bay. So they are like a rescued belugas we have here.
That's absolutely wonderful. I should apologize, Derek, for the background noise here. Very busy fishing port, lots of traffic around the place. Really dramatic scenery as well, these wonderful volcanic peaks. It's quite remarkable. Pretty cold here as well, I must say. So you mentioned about the belugas here, sort of, I suppose, in a way, a retirement home for these beluga whales. It wasn't possible to return them to the wild, no?
No, there isn't the possibility, unfortunately. We learned that about Keiko because when they have been captured for a certain amount of years, they get used to being fed, and they are used to a whole different scenario than when they are living in the wild. So we have an excellent animal care team who takes care of them and help us, making them happy and safe here.
But it's the first such sanctuary in the world, I believe, a beluga sanctuary?
Yeah, we are the first sanctuary for belugas. That's right.
And who pays for it, if you don't mind me asking you?
Well, we're just a charity, so we kind of rely on the income. We need people to come in and see, because we also have rescued puffins and we have aquariums. But we rely on donations from people all over the world.
But you do organize boat tours to take people out to see the whales in the pens that you're holding them in. Can you describe what the pen looks like?
Well, we have sea pens. It's like the middle stage of before they get into the bay, which are like a smaller pens where they start in, and when they are comfortable enough and we feel that they are ready, they go into a bigger halo, which is an outdoor facility here in the bay, which they can living and swimming, and so they will have a much bigger space here than they have been.
Do we know how old these two belugas are, and are they male or female?
These are two females, little grey and little white. They were caught probably from the same pot, and they are believed to be around 15 years old, so they're just teenagers.
And how long can beluga whales live for? What's the average lifespan?
The average lifespan is about 60 years, so they have like their whole life ahead of them.
So it's quite a responsibility. You might be looking after these animals for quite a long time. They're in a wonderful part of the world. I think they're very lucky beluga whales. Is there an issue with belugas in captivity elsewhere in the world? Is it a species that's in conservation difficulty? Is it a species that should really be in captivity like that for entertainment purposes?
They are not here with us for entertainment purposes. They are just here so we can provide as free environment as we possibly can. Those kind of animals should never be kept in as a display or as a show animals, definitely not. We believe that this is the best for them.
It's like a retirement home.
Yeah, it kind of is, for young people.
Well, it's like what you do with racehorses when they're finished racing, but at least you're providing that facility.
Derek, I'm also joined here by Jack Willens. Now, Jack, I was speaking to you earlier, that's not an Icelandic accent, I hear.
No, it's not. I'm actually here for 6 months helping out at the Beluga Whale Sanctuary. I'm working at London Sea Life, but I'm actually from the north of England in Yorkshire. So, yeah, not an Icelandic accent at all.
And what a dramatic place to be working. Absolutely beautiful surroundings here. What are the belugas like to be around, and what do your responsibilities involve?
Yeah, so like you said, it's an amazing place here, very scenic, and the bay where the whales are is also very scenic. Little grey and little white are, they have very different personalities. They're quite boisterous, they're very interactive and interested. They're very curious animals, so they like to check out new things, wonder where we keep them entertained, but also that's one of our main jobs. So we take care of them, we feed them, we look after them to make sure there's nothing in the water that could be damaging, so we keep it nice and clean in the area. You know, just to take care, look after them, see how they're reacting to things. If they're upset or seem a bit off, then we can do that. We're in constant contact with a series of vets, so if something happens, if they go off their food or if they exhibit some kinds of problems that we can see, we're always on hand with a vet so we can prescribe medication if need be to keep them in the best health that they can be and give them the best life that they have out there.
You mentioned entertainment there. They're, of course, famously very intelligent animals, which means they need stimulation. I suppose a lot of their care must be also psychological as well as physical.
Yes, absolutely. So out in the bay, it's a little different from when they were out in the indoor area. So the indoor area, we had a lot of enrichment objects, which would test their, like you said, their intelligence. So they'd try and find food in bits of puzzles and things that they can move around and play with, things that would simulate the stimulation that they would receive in the wild. So they like to play in the kelp, look at the rocks, they'll go around and check out their habitats, any fish that they'll go in, they'll try and chase after fish and birds that are in the wild. So there's lots of things that they can interact with and keep them interested and pique their intelligence every time that they need to.
I know that the Sea Life Trust run boat tours so people can see this facility and see the conditions in which the whales are living, which is absolutely remarkable. I recommend it to anybody. Is it popular with tourists? Do many people who come to the Westman Islands come to see the belugas?
Yes, yeah, so we have quite a lot. As you saw when you came in from the ferry, you can see a short glimpse of them as you're going past. But yeah, it's right here on the port front, so it's quite a prominent thing to see. We get quite a lot of people that are interested to come and see the tours, and the puffins and the aquarium that we all have to offer.
I love the visitor centre here, and I can see there that you have two things in abundance. You have lots of toys and everything based around puffins and belugas, two perfect animals to attract tourists. I'm sure you must sell loads of them.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, they fly off the shelves. So yeah, it's great.
I'm just wondering about noise pollution in the water. If they're in the bay and there are fishing vessels coming in and pleasure craft and all that. Is that an issue for them?
Before we actually move the whales out to here in Iceland, we are working on, still work with a number of outside sources that do this sort of research. So we have had research on the noises that they hear within the bay. So there are hydrophones out there that we've kept data on, and it was found that it was not anywhere near as loud as it would be to cause them to be affected negatively.
So you don't see any change in their behavior?
You can see it sometimes. They know the boats are there.
Yeah.
So they'll sometimes, if we're in the middle of a session to do some behavior things that we do with them, you can see sometimes they get a bit curious. They'll go, what's that?
What's that?
And yeah, look around. But yeah, nothing super negative that it's going to change that they'll be affected massively by. It'll go, and then the boat will pass, and then they'll go back to normal.
How long were they in captivity for, do we know?
From the records that we've hopefully got, we can estimate that they were born around 2007.
Yeah.
And then they were caught maybe 1 to 2 years old.
Okay.
So they were caught in Russia and then brought to a aquarium in China. And then we acquired the aquarium in 2012.
About 15 years or thereabouts in captivity.
Yeah,
so how do they react to fresh seawater again is what I'm wondering, because presumably they're in an indoor enclosure the entire time when they're in an aquarium. They may have been getting seawater, but it's not in the open water like it is now, albeit a bay.
Yes, so here in the aquarium, before we move them out to the bay, we're on an open system, so we technically do take water from the ocean and put it through, so it's kind of a step gap in between. But once you're out in the bay, there's lots of things to check. So you do see the first few weeks, they're like kids in candy shops. They swim around everywhere trying to check new things, look at all the
all
things that are
around there. All sorts of creatures they haven't seen for years or don't even remember.
Yep. So yeah, they go around and they check things out. They come and bring us starfish to show us what they've found, just to thing. So they'll come and, obviously, because they don't have hands, so they come and pick them up with their mouths and swim around with them because they feel a little different to anything else they've ever touched before, and they'll just discover a whole new world, basically.
I remember when Keiko was there, one of the issues was to try to get him to feed naturally, to take live prey. So do they take live prey, or are you still feeding the belugas? Have they been tempted to take anything that, presumably it's a net that keeps them enclosed, so does anything come through that net, and do they ever eat it, or is the answer no?
No, so yes, we do have animals within the bay. There are quite a lot of flatfish, and we also see sand eel and a few other little fish that are swimming around, and lots of seafloor critters like crabs and urchins and things. We are still feeding them frozen food as we do normally, and this will not change. They don't, as Thora mentioned, they don't actually have their hunting ability because they've been in captivity for so long. That doesn't mean they won't chase around things that are new because they like to investigate it. So probably they'll supplement their food that we give them with the odd flatfish or something that swims by past them, just to try it out.
How much do they eat every day?
So we can go through around 20, 22 kilos of fish per whale per day. So it's a lot of fish. Yeah.
At Icelandic prices as well.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, so they go herring and capelin. So yeah, they get quite a tasty selection of fish.
I know that that Sea Life Trust is owned by Merlin Entertainment. Can you tell us a bit about Merlin's policy regarding cetaceans like this?
Yes, of course. Merlin Entertainment has a policy of no cetaceans in any of their sites for the purpose of frivolous entertainment. So when they bought Changfeng Aquarium back in 2012, I think it was. Obviously, we had little grey and little white there, and so the thing was, what is the step to do to make sure that we follow through on our duty to care to those animals, but also with applying to our policy of no captivity for entertainment value. So it was one of the things that we had to do was look for a different way to keep them and give them the best life that they could. And this is what's born here now in Iceland.
And as I've said, there are some photographs on our website, rte.ie/